Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
Hello, people of Donegal, we have done it!
Well, just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just that it's in your blood, I suppose, and you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, let me shake hands with you. You came in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I tell you nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets the foot behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man from Kintyre.
We are all square, but a draw will be enough for Donegal. Kick out comes, kick the ball out of play now. Donegal should kick the ball out of play because they've come in second place. Not sure why Kieran Moore is doing this. He doesn't really need to, does he? It doesn't matter now anyway. He kicks it high, he kicks it over the bar. That's Donegal. Safe, home and hose. Donegal beat Mayo, and Mayo have crashed out of the All-Ireland, and Donegal have won. That Kieran Moore point makes it Donegal 19 points, Mayo a goal in 15.
Yeah, there was probably the only major factor was here that you put Mayo out. That's the only major factor here. Donegal, once they got the draw, they were always going to go through in second. So good last minute factory. I would say that probably the most influential player in the second half is probably the difference and scored the winning point. For me, has been the best player. I thought Kieran Moore has been exceptional throughout. Not just that final point, but you know, overall, I thought his performance today was excellent. A lot of positives, but also a number of things that Jim McGuinness will have to work on for the second, for another week's time, regardless who we get, Paddy.
Looking at this, Kieran Moore scored again. I just put it up on my phone. He just wanted to knock Mayo out, didn't he? Mayo have caused a lot of pain to Donegal down through the years since that 2012 All-Ireland final. Mayo have won the last three big championship games, 13, 15 and 19. So your overall thoughts on Donegal there? I was going to say Donegal not at their best, but listen, this is a good Mayo side, and they had slightly more on the line today.
I think when they needed it most, the running power of Moore, Mogan, Shane O'Donnell, the experience of Murphy, and Michael Langan, and I thought Owen Bann quietly went about his work, but I thought Caelan McColgan as well. I just think Donegal's running power probably more in the legs than maybe Mayo had, and it showed just in the last, maybe after Mayo got the goal, you know, they got the goal 20 minutes into the second half, they failed to score then for another 10 minutes, Paddy, and that's the period where Murphy, Darrow Boyle, Conor O'Donnell and Murphy again, they struck for Donegal, eroded that lead that Mayo had built up from the goal, and just came back and came back stronger.
Yeah, who was Donegal's best players?
I think
you said it already.
I think McColgan, Moore, and probably Mogan and Murphy. I mean, you can pick any one of them. I think they were today. They were probably the standout players. Great to see Darrow Boyle made a huge difference with that two-pointer when he came on the pitch. But yeah, it offers another scenario now. We're out again. We could have a situation where we play three games in 3 weeks, and that'll test the legs on everybody.
There's absolutely no doubt about that. Donegal led at halftime 9-6. We were happy enough because whatever breeze was in it, and it was going down to that graveyard side, you know, it's a strange breeze, but Donegal would have been happy enough, even though probably left a couple behind them. But it was Mayo who got out of the traps better in the second half. Donegal just went a little bit flat for long periods. It was kind of a seesaw match again.
Yeah, and again, Paddy, I would point out too that we offered Mayo probably 2 to 3 real goal opportunities that they didn't take until they took the one they got. And that's something, again, that we weren't doing last year. We're offering up goals to teams. Some of them are taken, some of them are not. I think against the sharper Mayo side, we'd have struggled today. But, listen, that's ifs and buts. The game is about what happens in those 70-odd minutes. And Donegal today, they just done enough to get over the line. Hopefully come out of it unscathed injury-wise, that everybody's fairly fresh, regardless who we get in the draw for next week. Interesting. Not sure how Tyrone.
Tyrone, I'm just checking the scoreline here. Tyrone, 31 points. Cavan, 18. So Tyrone
go up as
13 points.
Tyrone go up as winners because they beat Donegal. Is that correct? So they'll go straight to the quarter final. Although the table is saying different.
Table saying Donegal. No, Tyrone go through group winners. None of the provincial champions actually won their group, yeah. So Tyrone won that group. Meath, Louth were provincial champions. So Meath top group 2, Monaghan top group 3, Armagh top group 4. Who can now? I know a lot of people will be listening, you know, to our coverage on the podcast and so on. Maybe Monday evening, Tuesday. The draw is on Monday morning on Morning Ireland. I think RTE Radio 1 at about 8:30. Who can Donegal get for our contemporary listeners? So Donegal can get 3 teams, possibly. Cork is one of them. They finished 3rd in Group 2. Donegal could get Louth in Group 3. They come 3rd. And Donegal could get Galway. And I won't imagine Galway would be many people's choice. Dublin, of course, finished 2nd. Kerry finished 2nd. So I think Dublin, Kerry and Donegal won't want to get Galway. Not that they can't beat Galway, but you just rather not get Galway.
Yeah, I think of all the teams, probably Kerry are in the worst position. A couple of players injured. Shawnee O'Shea pulled up last night, so they'll certainly not want to see Galway coming down to Killarney, especially, you know, after Galway's result last night. Huge lift for Galway, you know, to come out against Armagh when it looked dead and gone. They came back. The great Sean Walsh kicking over a number of brilliant scores in the dying minutes. So, yeah, from a Donegal perspective, they don't need a Galway coming to Balvafay. You know, Cork or Louth, you'd be happy enough. But at the same time, you can't take any of them for granted. You have to do the work. You have to get on with it. This week it'll be more about recovery than anything that they'll do on the pitch. And it'll be the same the week after if they get over next week. It's about recovery. It's about making sure everybody's fresh, everybody's fit, and going at it.
If Donegal were to win next week, there's only 2 teams now Donegal could actually meet in the quarters if we were to win next week, and that would be, of course, Meath or Monaghan. I mean, it's a bizarre championship, this, isn't it? Because one stage when we lost to Tyrone, you're thinking, we could run into Dublin if they win their group. We could run into... we could never run into Armagh, but you could run into the likes of Kerry. But Kerry and Dublin both slipped up, and neither of them topped their group. And it's all over the place. Who would have thought Kerry in the preliminary, Galway in the preliminary, and Donegal in the preliminary?
Yeah, but I do think, Paddy, with all the games congested, if you look at the injury toll on each county team,
yeah.
The teams that are keeping their injury toll to their starting 20 players, if they can keep that down, they're the teams that are coming and coming stronger. And it could somebody could come really from the blind, like a Meath, who have fresh players coming in, a lot of hunger, they're rested, they've hadn't had a serious league campaign, they hadn't had a serious Leinster championship. Somebody like that there, you have to be fierce careful. There's always a kick in Cork. Cork is always going to take a big scalp somewhere along the line. So nobody can be taken for granted, and I'm sure Jim McGuinness, no better man, he'll keep the feet firmly on the ground and make sure the players are focused on the next job in hand.
Manus Boyle from Killybegs, man of the match here in 1987 in the Under-21 All-Ireland Final, and of course the 92 Final, nearly forgot about that one. Thanks for joining me on commentary today with Ocean FM and the Donegal GAA podcast. I'll get you to hand it now to Peter Campbell, who wants to come in and say a few words. Safe travelling all the way back up to beautiful Killybegs there. Manus, Peter Campbell, what are your overriding thoughts in the last 2 hours?
Well, I said it was a manic game of football. There wasn't either a head nor tail to it at times. The amount of turnovers, the amount of mistakes, And imagine, like, probably our best player over the years, Michael Murphy, giving the ball away that led to the Mayo goal that really gave them a wee bit of energy to get back into this contest. And, you know, they could have easily got the draw that they needed. They'll be very, very disappointed going home that they didn't get a draw in the end, because they fought like tigers in the second half. But, like, they were only in the game because Donegal didn't punish today. And just, it was one of those days when there must have been four or five goal chances and none of them put away. And then balls coming back off the upright, Patter Morgan for a two-pointer, Michael Murphy for a 45.
Both sides were wasteful.
Both sides were wasteful, but it looked like Donegal were like, they had the forwards, they had the chances, they had the big chances. They really should have put them away. But then I suppose we have to thank Sean Patton at the end. Sean Patton saved what looked like a certain Mayo goal, and would have put them and would have really embarrassed Donegal. But, you know,
that would have been a tough one to take.
It would have been a tough one, and the huge support that's here today. They really got behind Donegal from the start.
Donegal support.
Oh, it was phenomenal. 18,000, but I'd say it must be 12 of them from Donegal at least. But it's huge, the numbers they're turning out at the moment. But it wasn't the perfect game for Donegal, and they'll have a lot to look at, but they had a lot of very good performances as well. Like Caelan McColgan doing a job on Aidan O'Shea. Who would have thought that he would be the man picked to look after him? Did very well on him, and did very well on the ball himself as well. Kieran Moore come good. Shane O'Donnell ran himself into the ground, had to be replaced in the end. And Patrick Morgan as well. You know, it was just a brilliant all-round display from Donegal. But there were so many mistakes as well, and that really kept Mayo in it to the very end. It should have been probably a much easier win for Donegal. But the fact that they only needed a draw, maybe that was playing on their minds a little bit. But like the 3-point lead at half time didn't flatter them at all. But then Mayo got into that rhythm, and I thought they were helped a little bit by the referee today. I thought the referee, the free count was very, very much.
And you're never biased. No, you're not.
I would try not to be biased.
No.
Like there was Kieran Moore went down on a ball in the first half, and there became a boot in, and he got no free. The same thing happened to Mayo in front of the Donegal goals, and they get a free in. And that's inconsistency that I don't like. Kieran Thompson won a ball in the middle of the field, and he was hauled. He broke through three or four tackles, and he never got the advantage. Luckily enough, he got the ball away to Michael Murphy. But there were occasions like that that I thought that Donegal didn't get the rub of the green from the referee, and they really had to fight very hard for the referees. At one stage, it was 7-2 in the second half. And I'm not sure. I have the notes of the full game, but the overall count was very much in favour of Mayo. And that's very important in a game where small things matter. And there isn't that much between, you know, 8 or 10 or 12 inter-county teams, and you certainly need to be getting your own share of frees as well.
There's John Gorman, principal of the Great Rosses School. What a man he is. Can I ask you, Peter Campbell, Kieran Moore at the end, a draw and Donegal were in second place anyway, and you could hear all these ironic jeers throughout the ground. If Kieran Moore, he's done brilliant, and he's a legend, and he's a phenomenal talent. I always say he's a greyhound, but greyhounds can't play football. He can. He's so fast. If Donegal, if he had to be, he was brave. If he was turned over there, and Mayo went up and scored, Mayo would have come second in the group. But I would imagine it just still doesn't feel right, kicking the ball out of play. A number of players have felt that. It's a weird scenario, isn't it?
It'd be very hard for someone like that to be going through Kieran Moore's head. He got the ball, he was in on goal, and I suppose the only scenario that could have happened would have been to hit the post and it come back out, and Mayo would have got it.
1%.
Because if he had to put it wide, it was the same thing. The game was over, the hooter was gone. It must be very difficult for a player to get that into his head. You on the ball, you're heading for goals. Like the normal thing for football.
I saw a video, sorry for laughing. Did you see? I don't know if you saw the video on WhatsApp, turn around. It's from club game. I don't know where it is. It's in like Derry or Tyrone or somewhere, just judging by the accents. And this lad just caught it and fired it out over the line. And was all his teammates were like, what are you doing? Like,
yes.
Like it was, oh, it's brilliant. Check it out, someone, if you can. Check it somewhere. But the poor fella, like, can you imagine doing something like that? You mightn't even be aware of the score sometimes.
He may not be aware. But it was, I think it was probably good for the Donegal supporters. That, right, going home with a win is much, much more satisfying than going home with a draw. Because
and knocking Mayo out, another contender.
Mayo have had their number over the last number of years. They've drawn a lot of games, and it's even if it's only by 1 point, it's good to get over the line against them. You know, we've left a few behind us, but like all it does, Paddy, is get us into a home game, and that was the most important thing that we did finish second. Like having the home game next week is so important for Donegal, because like there was a possibility of drawing Kerry away in Killarney, and that would, like, no team would really want that. But you know, you have we have the options now: Louth, Cork, and Galway. I suppose we would like to avoid Galway because they have that potential, that scoring power, and they're probably hurting a little bit actually by finishing third in their group. But that really was the group of death. And they fought like tigers yesterday to stay in this championship. And I'm sure if you got them in Balbuffet, it would be probably the game of the preliminary round, definitely.
We'd rather, like someone said to me beforehand, you have to beat the best. Hang on a second. I would still rather not get Galway.
Oh, yeah. Like, at this stage.
Yeah.
Because they have to go out the following week and play, you know, this Meath or Monaghan. And that will be in Croke Park, so it's a neutral venue at least. So, you know.
And Meath and Monaghan need to be not just respected, need to be bloody respected. Especially with the 2 week break. Meath have beaten Kerry, I know they're a bit short. Kerry and Dublin. Monaghan do like playing Donegal, even if they're way off. And they've a 2 week break.
We saw what happened in Clonus, Paddy. We saw 100%. What happened in the quarter final in Donegal's second game. Like, there was very little in that game, and you know, at the very end. There was a controversy about the ball being at the hooter as well. So there was nothing in that game. And, you know, you probably would maybe rather get Meath than Monaghan. You'd like to get away from...
Just so people know as well, we can't get Armagh because we played them in the Ulster final. But it says in the stipulations
I don't think we should be talking about Monaghan and Meath. Because we have this game next week.
100%.
It's the one that we have to concentrate on. And, you know, I suppose all ears will be listening to the draw tomorrow morning on RTE. Morning Ireland, I think.
RTE Radio 1,
So...
Galway would be an awful draw for both teams.
Galway would be a tough draw for both teams, yes. Yeah. But at the moment, it's in the lap of the gods. Maybe Fergal McGill might be able to pull a stroke for us in Croke Park.
His father, God rest him, remind our listeners,
father was the follower. And I saw Fergal was actually here today. I saw him, he was just down here in front of us watching the game as well. And he would have probably... if his dad was here, he would have really enjoyed that game, and I think he would have clapped Kieran Moore on the back for going for the score at the end and taking home the win, because a win for Donegal, I think it's great. I think it's better for them in the long run than the draw, and I think they were the better team overall, but you know that Mayo spirit that you know that was there throughout the last 10-15 years. It showed its head for periods, but like the one thing that they haven't got is just they rely totally on Ryan O'Donoghue for scores. A young Dawson has come in today, and he's actually looks a prospect for them. But you know it's been their Achilles heel for so long, and you know, looking at them today, they were recycling the ball from scoring positions all the time. Players are afraid to take it on, and unless they come up with a plan that, you know, that the forwards that can take go for their scores and take them, they're always going to be playing second best in most of the championships going forward. But yeah, hopefully this will be a fill up for Donegal. It was always a kind of a banana skin, but you know you would hope that you know they can push on from this. Certainly not the perfect display today. Lots to work on during the week. But mostly, I suppose, on recovery and be ready for next week.
Just a word on the Donegal support here. it was tough because it did feel more like a home game to Mayo, and they played here for a while when McHale Park was getting was under reconstruction, and just the Donegal support today. There was a busload down this morning early from Arras, and look, Donegal fans are great. They come from all over the corners of the country, don't they? And they're here in their massive, massive numbers here today as well.
Brilliant the way they do that, and they do it on such a regular basis. But yeah, this has been certainly a very, very good year for Donegal for getting the support out. And but you know, I suppose that's down to Jim McGuinness. Once Jim McGuinness and Michael Murphy once they came back, it, you know, the support came out, and it didn't matter whether it was Roscommon or if they go to Hyde Park or if they go to Castlebar, they would have still been there.
Peter Campbell, I'm going to get you now to hand that headset over to... It's not often you can say this, Peter. Thanks for joining me here, the Donegal GAA podcast. And a legend of both counties. There are not many people that you can say that about. Are there many more? But it's Martin Carney, of course, a Donegal great. And Martin, just for maybe our really, really young listeners now at the moment, you are born and bred a proud Ballyshannon man.
Oh, yeah, very much so. And lived there, as I say, all until we started working about half a century ago, Paddy. But look, today was a great second half to it. It was a fabulous second half. But to be honest with you, I thought that overall Donegal were the better team. I felt that they were the better team. And yet, Mayo did enough to get themselves the draw that they needed with less than 15 seconds to go. But you have to compliment Sean Patton's kick out. It was a superb kick out to Young Moore, and Young Moore's energy to get forward was just remarkable. He was outstanding for Donegal, I thought. You know, but I thought really the undoing for Mayo, there was two things. There was the first half when they had the extra man, when Father Morgan got sent off. They only managed to outscore Donegal 3 points to nil in that time. And it was at a stage of the game where basically I didn't think they made full use of that advantage. The second period was after they scored the goal with 15 minutes to go. I thought then Donegal showed the real quality. And they went up and scored 4 points, I think. Murphy got a two-pointer, was it? But they scored four. I'm not sure if it was four or five they scored, but they really, 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 I think, showed the market champions, like in the way they went forward that time and got the vital scores. But overall, I thought Donegal were the better side, but Mayo battled ferociously in the second half to get something from it, and I thought we're unlucky not to have actually earned the draw at the end, and the draw would have seen them okay. And they would have got through actually at Cavan's expense.
There was a tense atmosphere around Roscommon Town all morning and into the afternoon. That was one of the themes, wasn't it, during the match, Martin? There was a lot of, we'll call them maybe in tennis parlance, unforced errors from both sides, missed chances. It was a recurring theme for both sides.
Oh, there was, Paddy. There was an awful lot of, we call turnovers. There was an awful lot of slipping. There was a lot of misplaced passes. There was players actually being just rushing shots and all of that kind of stuff. You know, even some of the kickouts were poor from both goalkeepers. I think in particular, surprisingly, from Sean Patton, his kickouts in the first half weren't to the standards that he had set himself. But both teams struggled to settle down, and one would have thought that there was a huge amount of rain out there because the number of slippages that you had. But then when they settled in the second half, when Mayo kind of, in a sense, got a little bit more purposeful, a little bit more keen on attacking in the second half, I thought you had a much better game. But the first half, let's be honest about it, by halftime, it was a poor quality.
Yeah, compared to some of the matches that we saw.
Yeah.
I know Mayo, a proud footballing county, and any county that's at the business end for so long, when there's a championship defeat and the team, I mean, it's an institution like all the great counties, when a team gets knocked out, there's a post-mortem. What do you think? And first of all, I want to say we all wish Kevin McStay the very best, because at the end of the day, this is actually only a football match, so I'd like to isolate that. I know he's a fine fella, very lucky to meet him. loads of times. So not even sure what the situation is overall with the management team. But will there be big scrutiny over being knocked out this early, Martin?
Well, look, it'll be a huge disappointment, Paddy, in being knocked out this early. You know, being knocked out whatever date it is, the 14th of June and the 15th of June. You know, it's an early stage to be gone from Championship football. You know, you still have the summer there in front of you. And, like, there'll be a lot of kind of, shall we say, there'll be a lot of wringing of hands and gnashing of teeth and all of that kind of stuff. But and the management, as far as I know, has another year to go. They have 3 years to go. I don't think now's the time to be kind of maybe, you know, to speculate on that. You know, Kevin McStay's situation, the guy was taken ill, and we just wish him the best. Yeah. Wouldn't even go and speak about it here beyond what I've said.
Exactly, yeah. Overall, Martin, the game looks to be in a little bit of a... I know today wasn't the best, but some of the matches over this weekend, over the entire championship, the new rules, it's fair to say... they have been working. A few little tweaks needed here and there, but overall.
Overall, it's a much better code than it was a year ago. It's a much better code than it's been over the last 10 years. There's a lot more kind of willingness to get the ball forward, but I still think neither team there today, and I think this generally applies to teams, has come to terms with the new demands on kicking the ball. I still think the hand pass to the foot pass ratio is 3.2 to 1. It's still quite high, actually, you know. And I'd love to see more purposeful kicking of the ball than we're having. And, in fact, I felt in the first half today with Mayo that they spurned opportunity again and again of having a kick of goals. You know, just they were holding on to possession for the sake of it. And I think maybe in some respects it was their undoing. But, Paddy, overall, like, I like the solo and go thing. I like the two-pointer from outside the arc. I don't like seeing 2 points for freeze outside the arc. I like to see the... It's a game that has a lot more sense of adventure to it, and a lot less, shall we say, emphasis on structure. And you know, players seem to have a little bit more, shall we say, permission, if that's the right word, to kind of take the risk that you wouldn't have had in the past. But it is improving, and it is room to go, but it's certainly a lot better than what we said.
Two more short ones. Not one provincial winner has actually come and won their groups. We see Meath taking out, you know, Dublin and Kerry. Well, not take them out, sorry, they're not gone. Monaghan are straight into a quarter final. Every team has lost now once. The overall state of play, this is a bizarre championship, Martin.
Oh, absolutely.
How do you see it now, looking into your crystal ball?
Well, look, you said it. You said it, Paddy. It is a bizarre championship. You know, like, I mean, you were looking at Kieran McGeaney yesterday after that game, and he was saying to himself, why in the name of Jesus didn't I put Galway out of that championship? Yeah. Because Galway got a kind of a, shall we say, a stay of execution yesterday. And, like, my God above, they can still come back to haunt somebody. In fact, they could be in McCool Park next weekend. It's possible.
Get rid of the villain early in the horror movie and they could come back in the middle
exactly.
of the night.
They could. I'm hoping it's not. But they could be. And if it was to be Galway next weekend with Donegal, now that would be a hairy one. That would be a hairy one, I'll tell you.
I know you love final one. I know you love both counties and you hate being asked this. It must be difficult when Mayo played Donegal, and people, the likes of the 2012 final or the night, well, who do you want to win? Who do you want?
As I said today, I pursued a policy of strict objectivity.
But you're definitely 100% Donegal from now on.
Oh, from now on, there's no doubt about it. I'd love to see that, Paddy. I say to people, I remember my daddy, God rest his soul, in 1963, and I could take it to this day to the very place we sat in Cavan to watch the first provincial final the Donegal ever contested.
Wow.
I could take you to exactly where we sat in Cavan that
day.
Wow. And we had a team in the minor final and in the senior final.
63.
Yeah, we never contested a provincial senior final then. And it was so bizarre. Yeah, I think you had the same set of selectors for both sides. So the selectors had to leave, shall we say, with 10 minutes to go with the minor match still going to go in and get the seniors ready. You know, as I say, different world.
What was 1972 like? That was the first ever, you were there in 72 and 74, and that must have been incredible. Like, we talk about the All-Ireland in 92 being absolutely, you know, unbelievable, and I was too, you know, very young for that, but 72, the first Ulster must have been special.
Well, I'm a disaster. The person I always go to find out, if I want to find out something about games like that, is McNiff. McNiff is forensic recall.
Good friend of yours.
A remarkable man, and without his, shall we say, his influence, without his, just his kind of ambition and a sense of can-do, you know, we could be still scratching our heads.
And that would have been vital as well from the business world as well, and he brought that to the sport world in terms of giving his belief.
He was fantastic in that way. He just didn't believe in being second best. And that was Brian. And we were just lucky to have him when we had him. And like, we were lucky to have him in 92 when we had him. Yeah. You know? And just, even to go into him, if I call into him tomorrow, he would give you detail for everything.
Really?
And he'd say to me, he always called me Mophead. He said, Mop, why weren't you there? Or why do you not remember making... Sure, I wouldn't remember yesterday or Saturday unless somebody told me. You know, anyway.
Donegal are lucky to have Brian McInniff through the years. I tell you what, we're lucky to have you here joining me here.
There's the girl now, you thought it was Niamh. You see her with the sunglasses down there.
Yeah,
I
studied.
That's my daughter's down there.
Yeah, they're very like you as well.
I'm going down to them.
They go to all the matches too. Proud Mayo and Martin Carney, one of the all-time greats of both counties.
And by the way, Niamh sends her regards.
Good stuff.
Good stuff, Paddy.
And very the same, and we'll just get that headset off there. Thank you so much to Martin Carney. Peter, I'm actually just going to get one more final thoughts with you, Peter Campbell. Just a word there, because I was too young. He's gone now, away from us. He must have been some player, Martin Carney.
With long hair, a different version of him we see today, but he had the beard and the long hair, a bit like Jesus maybe Jim McGuinness of his era. But what a fantastic player. He scored a goal in the All-Ireland semi-final against Offaly in Croke Park. It's one of the ones I still in my memory from 20 yards into the top corner. But he was top scorer for Donegal then from 75 to 78. But as he says himself, he says he played in, I think it was 8 Ulster Club Championship campaigns. And the one in 72 and 74, every other year they were knocked out on the first game.
Wow.
So, you know, the amount of championship games they played back then, is just, he always tells me it was a different time for Gaelic footballers. He would have went to America a lot of summers as well, just to work. And then he got a job teaching in Swinford. And I suppose he travelled up for a few years back to Donegal. I think it was Ballinascreen against Derry, I think maybe the last game he played in 78. And ironically, Donegal got to the Ulster final in 79 after he left.
That's the day of the band being on the pitch, wasn't it?
That is the day of the band. But he went to Mayo when he was a servant for Mayo as a corner forward and then as a corner back for them for years. Won, I don't know how many, Connacht Championships, played in a couple of All-Ireland semi-finals as well. Like, but he was a massive footballer and, you know, still contributed off the field for Mayo as well. I think was minor manager, was involved on the 21s. Football has been his life, but he was an outstanding player, individual player, for both Donegal, St Joseph's, and then when he went to Mayo as well as a Mayo player.
This is something that this is the last one. I know you need to go, but it's a county team is an institution, isn't it? Though, because there's a lot of thrills and spills in life, and there's terrible things that goes on, and someone says this isn't the most important. It isn't, but with so much going on, this can be a distraction for a couple hours. And just walking in here even today, like, you see Man of Spoilers and commentary today, looking at, you know, Brendan Devaney. I've seen Brian Roper earlier on, and when you play for the county, and now we're looking at our new heroes there today, it's the supporters will always stay the same, and the players, like, they're just, if you can don that jersey, it's such an honour and a privilege. And whatever happens, this team, we've superstars here as well. Like, Michael Murphy, I mean, he's come back. I mean, come on, like, he's... Like, what? Like,
it's just amazing what he does. And, like, probably that one mistake, maybe people might talk about it today, but, yeah. You know, what did he finish up with? What tally did he finish up with? When Donegal needed somebody for Sean Patton to find a kick out in the last quarter, Michael Murphy stood up. Like, he's just a standout individual.
Even the little scoops. He caught one out in the middle. He was kind of falling to the ground. Mm. And he gave a little offload. If the All Blacks done it, you'd be raving about it. Just a little. But it's, and you're kind of going, you wouldn't even think that that was a big moment. But he just does so many small things and makes him easy. Yeah,
he's an outstanding player. And like the confidence that he'll give to the young players, the Shane O'Donnells, the Kieran Moores, the Patrick Mogans, you know, coming through. Conor O'Donnell from Cairn Donagh, who did quite well today, but had a couple of just a couple of ones that shaved the post that he probably should have put over. He'll probably look back at and say, maybe I could have had 5 or 6 points today, but you know, he's still put in a big contribution. It's just great for the kids and for the crowd that came here today, that they're going home with that win. That the W means everything. You would when you look back on the game, Donegal won the game. Kieran Moore hit the winning point with the hooter. In added time or what? In hooter time, we'll call it now. From now on,
he'd want to watch himself now in a stag in Westport now. But they'll be like, why didn't you kick it out the ball? So stay away from Matt Malloy's, Kieran Moore, if you're down in Westport. Change stag venue, but you get no Christmas cards.
No, but as you said earlier, he didn't even realise what he was doing at the time. But like he. All was in his mind was to get this ball over the bar, and he wasn't even going to go for the goal. He could have went for a goal as well, as Martin I mentioned, Donegal were the better team, mightn't have played that well. Mayo showed that spirit that they have always have, and probably, you know, you wouldn't have argued if they had to get the draw to leave them still in the championship. Probably they are the third best team in our group, and that's no disrespect to Cavan. They just had an off day against Cavan. I think if they played like they did today, Cavan wouldn't have beat them in Castlebar, but that was their undoing. And it's been a bizarre championship, as you said, all along. And at one stage today, it looked like Mayo were going to beat Donegal when they got 2 points up, but Donegal responded when it was needed, and that's, I suppose, that's a sign of a reasonable team, a team that knows what they're about.
Last one, what was the traffic like on the way down?
Traffic was fine.
Did you come down Sligo, Boyle?
I came down Sligo, Carrick and Shannon to Elphin, and then I took some back roads.
Through French Park, was it?
There was a tailback in Carrick and Shannon. That was the only trouble on the way down. I presume there'll be a leisurely return home. There'll be a few places to be stopped in, maybe to get a bite to eat, and we'll take it easy on the way home. Plenty of time.
Okay, once again, my thanks to Peter Campbell, Martin Carney and Manus Boyle, who joined me on co-commentary today with Ocean FM. Up next, it's Donegal manager Jim McGuinness, who spoke to various reporters in the immediate aftermath of his side's one-point victory.
We spoke in the hotel this morning about the fact that we were just going to go and we were going to play and we were going to try and win the game. And that's what we did. You know, they stuck to the plan, if you like. And that was very important. And I don't know, Kieran had no context of what was happening, I suppose, in terms of groups and anything else. But, you know, we said that we want to try and win this game. That was the number one thing, because we had to try and win the game. We didn't know what was going to happen in the other one. And we have another game next weekend, and we have to get ready for that now, you know. So from our point of view, there's a couple of phases here, and that's the first hurdle, if you like. And we're delighted that, you know, in those clutch moments that we were able to hold our head and get over the line.
There was a serious amount of turnovers. After turnovers, there's a couple of sequences of play where teams were losing it multiple times.
Yeah.
Was that sloppiness, or was that intensity of the hitting and the tackling? What did you put it down to?
I would put that down to Donegal and Mayo, you know, or Donegal or Mayo and Dublin, or, you know, we've seen these games before. They're always going to be that way, you know. It's very attritional, it's very physical. You know, they are very aggressive in terms of their man-to-man. They step very hard, so there's always going to be that moment. From our point of view, I felt that we managed the ball and controlled the ball really, really well for long periods today. We got caught in a couple of tackles, but bar a couple of tackles, I thought that they really managed and controlled the game in terms of our build-up play and established attack and everything else, you know. So, so Mayo are a brilliant team, and they're a hard team to beat. And it was always going to be like that, Tommy.
Yeah, the Mayo goal came from a turnover, but the response to it was brilliant. Michael Murphy leading the charge and a couple of brilliant points.
Yeah, no, that was very, very important, and it's so important. Listen, the bottom line is, you know, every single day you go out, you're going to be ahead, you're going to be level, you're going to be behind, and that's going to be repeat and repeat and repeat. So it's just really important not to get too disappointed or down when you're not leading, and it's also very important to not get too high whenever you're doing well, and that's what we speak about a lot, and hopefully we can continue to do that in the coming weeks.
How's the injuries looking in your gym?
Great. No, listen, there's a lot of sore bodies in there. There's a lot of sore bodies in there, but you know, we'll take stock of that over the next couple of hours and see where we can go.
So this is the most attritional part of the year now. We're in the middle of it. Would you be looking for 7 days to normally these games are on Saturdays now, which gives you 6 days to get back on the road.
Yeah.
Would you be looking for 7 days now for this fixture?
We probably would, Colm. Like, 7 days is too short in my opinion, to be honest with you, for what we're asking players to do. And I think there's a conversation to be had at the end of the season in terms of that. I do feel that the demands of the game are actually, you know, and I think you guys have a very important part to play in this, the demands of the game are way, way, way beyond what they were. And, you know, I don't think it's possible actually, you know, to bring that level and that level and that level. But anyway, you know, that's a conversation for another time. But yeah, we would be looking for, we'd definitely be looking for the 7 days. You know, we don't believe we should have been here today either, being honest with you. You know, we think that it was very unfair to bring us here. It was the equivalent of bringing Mayo to Oma. And we also put in an email, you know, to the CCCC to say we couldn't get a hotel. We couldn't get a hotel in the area, so we had to stay in Athlone. So we had to go beyond the venue to come to play in the venue. So it was the equivalent of Mayo going to play us in Oma and staying in Derry. And I don't believe that would happen. I think that would only happen because it's us. I think it would only happen because it's us. And disappointed in that, and we made a case, and we made the case early, and it was on deaf ears, you know. But that's, again, that's for another day. But I don't like the fact that our supporters are always kind of being taken advantage of. We had 7 games up to this point, you know. Nobody's played more games than us, nobody. And yet, no, we had the longest trek, and all those people have to find a way to do all that, you know. So Breffni was an option, they're going to say it wasn't. I know that Clonus was offered, and that was rescinded. You know, all you're looking for is fairness, and the middle is fair, you know.
Jim, when you say because it's only us, it's us, what do you mean by that?
Donegal.
Why would you think that?
That's probably a long conversation, Colm, that we would need to have, you know. But we knew a month ago that it was going to be here. And we also knew we couldn't get accommodation, and we also knew that it was going to be difficult for supporters. And we put that case forward, and that didn't happen, you know. So it happens for all the other teams. So why does it not happen for us? You know, everybody else had a fair shake this weekend. If you look at the two counties and you look at the geographical position, then all the games were fair. This wasn't a fair one. Like, you're 38 minutes from Mayo's training ground. You know, we're 3.5 hours from Inishowen. You know, it's not fair, and I think it's something that if I don't say it, like, who's going to say it? Do you know what I mean? If I don't say it, who's going to say it?
Donegal 19 points, Mayo 1 goal and 15 points. Now, a special guest up next on the Donegal GAA podcast, former Kerry manager and All-Ireland winner, Eamon Fitzmaurice, although I won't be bringing up 2014. I've still not watched that match back. But anyway, I'm not congratulating you on that. I will congratulate you on the new rules. We may come to that in a second. You were on duty today for RTE Sport. What did you make of that?
It was breathtaking, I suppose, is the only way to describe it. You know, the first half was really tight and intense, and both teams were going so hard at it. And in the second half, I felt at halftime, I felt that because of the tricky nature of the wind, that Donegal would probably be able to tag on scores a bit easier. And I felt that they might get a few twos in the second half that would pulled them away from Mayo a bit easier, and I felt that if Mayo were going to trouble Donegal in the second half, they were going to need goals. And obviously they got one goal with David McBreen, but it was just a ferocious battle, great game of football. And, you know, Donegal deserve huge credit to find a way right at the death when it looked like that Fergal Boland had guaranteed their passage with the draw at the end. But Kieran Moore had other ideas, to be fair to him. And, you know, you have to give him massive credit because he was outstanding in the second half in general, Kieran Moore. But another player maybe in that situation, would they have elected to just kick the ball out? And the game would have ended in a draw, but he went for the black spot and kicked a great score. So thoroughly enjoyable game. Delighted that I was here to witness it.
It's been a brilliant championship, hasn't it, Eamon? I don't think anybody would contend with that point. We've seen better matches, I feel, in the past couple of months. And I was pretty sceptical of the new rules myself. I won't lie, I know you're a key component as part of the FRC. And I know you didn't mind people being critical either. It was just maybe, I don't know how this will work. It has been very, very, very successful. And I know there's still some doubters saying, oh, well, these lads are in the media. These lads are trying to push it. There's no agenda, I don't think. I think it's just to make Gaelic football better. Are you seeing that?
Yeah, 100%. And that is it. And I think probably the most important point of the whole thing is that ultimately, you know, we were asked to do a job, we did the job, but it's the members of the GAA that decide whether these rules come in permanently. They, you know, they elected to experiment for a year, and we were given the year to trial them. And, you know, in general, we're pleased with what's going on as a result. But again, there's going to be a special Congress in October, and the members will have a decision to make whether they're going to keep some or all or none of the rule enhancements that were brought in. But look, in general, we're quite happy with the way things are going. I think there's a fierce excitement around football at the moment. I think the rules are helping. I think the fact that the teams are of an equal standard is helping. You know, the crowds are back. There was a great atmosphere here today at one stage. You know, from our vantage point here in Hyde Park, you're looking out over the main stand, and I just glanced down and everyone was just enthralled in the game. Everyone was tuned into it. If we were here, you know, in the past at some of the more tactical games, half the crowd would have been on their phones or talking to each other, whereas everyone is really engaged from start to finish, which is great. And look, it's not perfect, and I don't think we ever thought it was going to be perfect, and it'll probably take a couple of years if a lot of the rules are adapted until teams really get the hang of them. But it's leading to fantastic excitement. And you know, even today, I think we saw the first game today between Down and Monaghan was a particular type of game, real high scoring shootout type of game. The one we saw here in Hyde Park, I think, is more possibly of what we'll see for the rest of the championship, real physical in your face stuff where every score has to be really earned. But both of them were very exciting in very different ways, but thoroughly enjoyable, as I said already.
Just a word on Michael Murphy. He is, I know you're working with him as well, no doubt you know the man very well, but he's God in Donegal, and he's come back from a sabbatical, and he's playing, in my opinion, the football of his life. I think he's as good now as he was in his mid-20s.
He is. He's playing outstanding football. And look, I think, first of all, to want to go back, second of all, to get himself clearly into the physical shape that he's in at his age is just remarkable. And, you know, he's the man. He's leading the group. You can see that the rest of the lads still defer to him. I thought the snapshot in the final quarter sums up everything that, you know, about Michael Murphy, if you want to know about him. He gave away the hand pass for David McBreen's goal. Jordan Flynn intercepted it. So unlike Michael Murphy. He chased back the field. They still managed to get the goal, but it was his performance for the rest of the game from there. He played closer to goal when Oisín Gallen went off, and he was just absolutely central to everything Donegal did for the rest of the game, which shows, you know, a lesser player, a lesser man could go into their shell in that situation. But that's not Michael Murphy. And look, it's great for, obviously it's great for Donegal, and you're biased with your Donegal hat on, but it's great for the game. It's great for the game that he's back and he's playing, and we're all getting to enjoy him again. Obviously, when he's playing with Glenn Swilly, the Donegal people get to see him playing up there. But for him to be on a national stage again, and for all of us to be admiring what he's doing, it's fantastic.
Finally, the currency in Kerry, as all Ireland has been the currency in Dublin, okay? Throughout the history of the GAA, since the early years and to the introduction of the Sam Maguire and so on, there's a change, though, and we've had different counties having monopolies like Kerry, you know, late 70s coming into the early 80s and so on. Then it was tit for tat for a while, then Dublin come with an incredible side. I have a feeling, though, for the first time in a long time, probably had it last year, there's five or six genuine contenders. And isn't the state of play at the moment fascinating? Every team has lost now at least once. None of the provincial champions, Donegal, Galway, Kerry, Dublin, have won their group. So the, shall we call them, some of the stronger counties are coming through the dreaded preliminaries. Some of the lesser, quote-unquote, are through, and they're going to have the 2 weeks break against some of the maybe stronger teams like Monaghan or there, Meath or there. This is going to be fascinating, and you'd be a brave man to call it, wouldn't you, Eamon?
You would. Obviously, I'll be hoping that Kerry will be there.
Just a word on them, actually, last night.
The final Sunday in July. Look, they've work to do. I do. Last night was poor, and it's either going to be one of two things. It's either going to be a kind of a sign that at the end of their season is coming, or it's going to be a wake up call and they're going to react to it. I'd be hoping it'll be the latter. But it's impossible to call it. I think that what we've seen so far this season is the one consistency, is that it's inconsistent in terms of there's no team shooting the lights out.
The format, is it almost like a tournament football where just bloody win the game, because nearly more so than performance?
It is about just winning the game. And you know, the fact that you have, as you mentioned, all of the provincial winners in the situation where they're playing three weekends in a row and coming into quarterfinals, whichever one of them get through, playing for the third week in a row, that's going to bring a fascinating element to it as well. But it's all good, and it's all positive, and it's exciting stuff at the moment, and hopefully that'll be the way for the rest of the summer now.
I'll put you a pin on the collar, I promise, the last one. Are Armagh for you in slightly the best position?
They probably are. I mean, they're the All-Ireland champions. They know how to get it done from here. They have a seriously deep squad. But again, they were beaten last night. Galway's need was probably greater. I'm open for correction in this. I'm not sure if any team has won the All-Ireland having lost two games. So that would be a bit of history for them. But course, 100% Armagh are right there, and they'll be right in with a massive shout. But who's going to win it? I think it's impossible to call at this stage, but we can certainly look forward to the games.
We're always playing down Donegal in this podcast. We're getting used to it from watching you lads down through the years in the beautiful southwest. Eamon Fitzmaurice, RTE pundit and former Kerry great in a pantheon of greats, Ireland winning manager and player, not many of them. So Eamon, thanks for joining me here on the Donegal GAA podcast.
Welcome, of course, 100%.
Okay, the final section of the Donegal GAA podcast. Donegal 19 points, Mayo 1 goal and 15 points. My good friend, confident colleague, Jason Byrne from Kelly Beggs. Jason, the dust is well and truly settled. Donegal are in the preliminary quarter final. What did you make of it all?
Oh, it was some occasion here, Paddy. Wasn't one for the faint-hearted. It was funny, actually, you know, when the game was level, Donegal knew that they were safe in second. They obviously, the players in the pitch didn't really heed much to that, because from the resulting kick-out, Kieran Moore comes up and shows nerves of steel to kick that wonderful score. But got a stage in that second half, Paddy. Like, you know, Mayo just never really went away, and it was a massive moment when they got that goal from David McBrien. But I thought Donegal's response after that was key. You know, Darrell Wales on the pitch, fresh, gets a two-pointer. That's his bread and butter. Murphy gets a point two minutes later. Shane O'Donnell, who was brilliant, plays a neat exchange with Murphy then, just to wipe out the goal straight away. There was that massive moment 4 minutes from time when Patton gets a quick kick out away as well, and it falls to Darrell Wales. And you think, is he going to chip the keeper as per Derry last year? But he feeds it through to Paddy McBertie, and somehow Reap got back to deflect the ball onto the post, and Donegal might feel aggrieved that they didn't get a penalty because he clearly blocked it with his foot. But Murphy,
I didn't notice that one.
Saw the replay of that, Paddy. You know, you really have to slow it down. In real time, you never would have been able to tell. But you know, Murphy still got the result in 45. But like, how much energy is that going to take out of Donegal going into the draw? I know it's a home draw, but like, but you know, Donegal take it too at the end of the day. Like, Mayo out of the championship. Like, it's massive to get second place. It's absolutely massive. And Cavan are laughing. They're going through in third thanks to their round one win over Mayo. So, oh, it's been a crazy weekend of football, Paddy. Another one. It's been absolutely brilliant. And we're into the serious stuff now, the knockout stuff. So it'll be interesting to see who comes out in the draw and who's going to come to Baba Faye next weekend.
It does feel like Alan Foley was saying, like, it's nearly like tournament football where you just kind of win and you're nearly not bothered about the performance now. There's, on one hand, no team setting the light, but I think that's because it's not conducive nearly to set the light in the current structure, which I like sometimes and I don't like other times. But like, if Donegal had a bad performance against Tyrone, okay, and lost the game and everyone's coming out and the knives are out and it's, oh, Donegal, we're bad. Like, the law of averages, you come through a preliminary round in Ulster, whatever, you play four matches, then you play another one, you've only lost one game, and it's so punishing. So it's very hard for teams to be on it every single week, isn't it? This is tough going. It's, we even saw, nobody feeling sorry for Kerry given the route that they have every year, but there's so many teams with litany spates of injuries now. It's difficult, isn't it? It feels like every team's just limping along. Now, it's been great, but it's tough, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, and you think about it too, Paddy. Like, it's just, you know, Donegal were in this position last year too. They lost a game against Cork and they ended up topping the group just because other results went their way. That's how quickly things can change. And like, I was in Cavan last night, and a brilliant occasion between Donegal and Armagh, Galway and Armagh. Like, Galway were 9 points down at one stage in the first half, and somehow they produced this colossal second half performance. Shane Walsh kicks 9 points. It was ridiculous stuff. And like, they only finished third because they lost to Dublin and they drew with Derry, and those results cost them. The Cavan result cost Mayo, has cost them their championship. That's a long wait until next April to kick another ball in championship football. And like, just the margins, like, I know everyone's saying, oh, three teams going through is a bit silly, and there is a format change coming on the way, and there'll be enough chat about that during the winter. But I think after the Tyrone game, if you'd have offered Jim McGuinness second place, he still would have taken it, and he still would have been confident he would have got it, and they did. So like, there's not going to be a huge amount of time to reflect on this performance anyway. It's just a case of hoping that all the bodies are right and that everyone's good to go again for that massive home game next week, and then you're into the last eight again the following weekend. So just hoping that everyone stays fit. That 3 weeks in a row is just an absolute killer. Donegal are facing that now, but the one advantage is that it's going to be Baba Faye next weekend and not somewhere like Dr. Hyde Park. And Jim had his pop, rightly so, with the CCC and everyone else for fixing that game for here. Like, Breffni was another option. Like, Breffni hosted Galway Armagh last night. As I said, it was there. It was a brilliant occasion. Like, could have been similar there today. Jim McGuinness actually revealed that Clonus was on the table, but the CCCC didn't, they didn't want to hear it. So here we were, like, a very, very close home game for Mayo. Like, I live in Athlone. Someone was saying, you must have been the only happy Donegal man with the venue because it's half an hour to drive. But like, it's a long spin for people up in Inishowen and everywhere to come down here. And in fairness to the Donegal fans, they did come down their droves. They've been on the road all summer. They've been digging deep into the pockets, and you have to commend that too, because I couldn't get over the amount of Donegal fans that were here today. Like, I was here from 2 o'clock. The game started at 4. And like, I was meeting people from everywhere outside before the gates opened. It was great to see. And I think that made a massive difference for the team in the pitch too. So fair play to them.
I think it was a shambles, the choice of venue. Let's call a spade a spade. Very, very unfair. And I'm like you, I had a short journey, but for the greater good, I thought it was just really tough. Like, if you're coming from Inishowen or any part of Donegal, apart from Bundoor and Ballyshannon, maybe the rest of the county, is just too far. And yeah, even though Cavan were playing at the same time, I think something could have been arranged. Like, so poor choice of venue. And I think Jim McGuinness is absolutely spot on with that. You mentioned you were in Breffni last night. Galway, that big win. Now, I was saying earlier, it's like something from a horror movie for Armagh, maybe, that Galway, now they didn't kill off the villain early on and they're going to come back and who knows, maybe catch them later on. It's been a fantastic championship. Shane Eamon Fitzmaurice and Martin Carney, and that, it's been brilliant this year, hasn't it? It's coming thick and fast. How do you see this now? Like, the four provincial winners, any one of the four of them have actually topped the group. This is anybody's, isn't it? Well, there's four, five, six teams that can win this All-Ireland.
Yeah, it's wide open, Paddy. And like, the big shock for me the weekend is Kerry. Like, how in the name of God did Kerry not top that group? No disrespect to Meath or anyone else. Like, you know, my colleague Paul Dollery was at that game in Tullamore and he said Meath were phenomenal. Meath were absolutely phenomenal and deserved every point of that fantastic win, and fair play to them. And Robbie Brennan's really turned the ship around, because Kerry went to Navan in the group stages last year and absolutely steamrolled them. So I know Kerry have their injuries as well, but like, you know, they do have a fairly soft run through the province. You know, the Dubs are still in there. Conor Callaghan's back. Galway showed massive character in that second half last night, and Armagh did, like, let's call a spade, I was there. Armagh did want to kill them off. Armagh wanted these boys out of their sights. They're sick of looking at them. They beat them in the All-Ireland final last year. This was the third year in a row they played them in the final round of the group stages, and there's been nothing between them. They could easily meet again down the line. They definitely wanted to put them out of the ring, do you know what I mean? And it didn't happen. Galway's big men really, really stood up in that second half. John Maher, phenomenal. Donegal, people don't need introducing to him after the All-Ireland semi-final last year. Shane Walsh back to his best, 9 points. Joyce took a big gamble, didn't start Paul Conroy. Conroy came on just at the end of the first half and totally changed the game. Niall Grimley, given at the start for Armagh, got 3 points, Lord at the middle. He's given McGeady plenty of food for thought for the next 2 weeks as well. They have that 2 week rest. Like, Tyrone, God, you don't know where to start. It's absolutely wide open, Paddy. I have no idea. I cannot call where Sam's going to be at the end of July. I genuinely cannot call it. I hope we're in the Diamond in Donegal Town on the Monday night, but I don't know. It's impossible. I think it's genuinely impossible. And it's, you know, it could just totally open up for somebody. But injuries are going to be massive for the likes of Donegal now. We've got 3 weeks in a row. Galway are the only team to have overcome this 3 week hurdle to make an All-Ireland final. They did it last year. So that shows how tough it is to get to that final stage.
Yeah, Monaghan came through 3 games the year before, but they came unstuck in the semi-final. Yeah. That's my only concern for Donegal. So worst case scenario, again, people listening to this podcast, after 8:30 tomorrow morning, Monday morning, we'll know the draw. So it's either Louth, Cork or Galway if you're listening tonight. That's who it could be. That's why I don't want Galway. And it's not that we can't beat Galway. I think it's more, even if you beat Galway, is that putting emotionally, physically, mentally, is that going to be really hard then again the following week? I think it is. I just want a slightly easier draw. I think we'll beat Cork or Louth at home. I just think we will. I think we'll do enough. And then you can get a bit of a, you know, you can just go up the road then to Dublin. It's going to be tough. I'm exhausted. The fans, even talking to some of the fans, everyone's enjoying this journey. It's brilliant. It's fun. The games have been great. The rules have really worked. Jesus, how are the players feeling? Like, it's like nothing we've ever seen before. It was one thing, the championship structure, game on game on game. Then we had the new rules. Like, the players, you can see why they're dropping like flies on every team with injury.
Yeah, and you saw it there with Mayo in that second half as well. Donegal McHugh, like, they lost a few big players. They were all just pulling up with injuries. They were all dropping like flies. And, you know, it happened in the Galway game last night too. Sean Fitzgerald was just putting his head no matter what was coming at him, and he had to go off with a head injury early in the second half. And like, it's hugely taxing on them. I don't know how they're doing it. I'd say it's bed early for them all tonight anyway. You wouldn't envy them going on that road. Like, and this week is just about recovery and just getting right. Like, there's no more, all the work's done. All the work was done in those weeks leading up to the Derry game in Balbuffet. That's when all the hard work was done. Just recover now and reset and go again. That's all you can really do. And just kind of park this performance. You can't really read that much into it, can you? You know, there's things to improve on for sure. But, you know, I was delighted for a start that Sean Patton came through, because he went up to catch a high ball in that first half and he looked like he had a bit of a twinge when he landed, but thankfully he saw it the rest of the game. And, you know, he was excellent again. He made a massive double save in that second half, and he was kind of back to his best for the most part in his kickout. So I think he'll be delighted, and Jim will be delighted with that as well. So that's huge. And hopefully Charlie McManus isn't the busiest man in the county now for the rest of the week. That's all you can hope for.
Yeah, well, you mentioned delight. I'm delighted you came on the podcast, am I? And I'm also delighted because I'm going for a pint.
Ah, that'll be nice, Paddy. Yeah, just,
do you want to join me now?
I wouldn't mind. I don't drink and drive though. I've got the car, so I might have a 7-up.
you know, I'm not going for paying what's common. I'm going for paying when I get home.
yeah, exactly.
Don't tell your wife on me, she's a guard.
Yeah, we can do that too. She'll be in bed, don't worry.
Jim O'Byrne, better known as Mosey of the Irish Sun. What a brilliant writer, great friend, and a wonderful human being. Donegal with a wonderful victory in the very end. I want to give a big shout out to all my guests who joined me on the Donegal GAA podcast. Donegal will be out next weekend, either in 6 or 7 days' time, for the preliminary quarter final. I want to give a special shout out to the most important people of all, and they are our loyal listeners wherever you are tuning in right throughout the globe. And as always, a big shout out to those people from across the Atlantic, from across the Irish Sea and beyond. And finally, a big thank you to Austin O'Callaghan on production, who always gets the podcast out in rapid time. From me, Paddy McGill, from King and Moffat, Dr. Hyde Park in Roscommon, it's bye for now, and we will talk to you next weekend.
FM. Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.